about how the angels made that grand announcement about the birth of our Savior. And today we're going to follow that up and look on a little bit further in that same chapter, the same thought, or the same vein of a thought, if you will. And we're going to talk about the shepherd. Remember, we call this whole thing when heaven touched earth. When heaven touched earth. And when heaven touched earth, I mean, it was the best day that's ever been for mankind. I know the folks throughout history, you know, they've said back in the late 60s when Neil Armstrong walked on the moon, they said, oh, that's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind, one of the greatest days on the earth and all that. But I'll tell you, the best day ever that's been is the day that heaven touched earth, when Jesus became a babe in that manger and grew up to die for our sins. Nothing any greater than that's ever happened. And, I know today there's a lot of folks that are trying to change all this stuff, but I still believe in, you know, people getting ready to try to change the B.C. and A.D. and all that kind of stuff. And they call it, oh, well, it's not, does it mean before Christ's coming, that it's before the common era. They got B.C.E. and C.E. now. Hey, forget that. Just go back to B.C. and A.D. Amen? I believe that's right, because the birth of Christ is the absolute best thing that's ever happened. It was so tremendous that they divided time because of that birth. So look with me, if you will, here in Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2, and again, verse number 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad all the saying that was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for the glorious news and the great day that Christ came and was born as a babe in that little town of Bethlehem and in a manger, in a place and a time that he was needed, and in a day when he came so lowly. Thank you that there were angels to announce it. There were shepherds to believe it. There were people that had their lives changed because of it. And thank you that you have made us one of those. We love you this morning. Speak to hearts. Show them the good grace of God and how they can be saved this morning. We'll praise you again in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I want you to look at this again. And as I say, we looked at, first of all, we saw how the angelic announcement. But this morning, I want you to look at the awestruck audience that was there. The awestruck audience. The Bible tells us in verse number 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field. And they were just keeping watch. I mean, they were doing what they normally do at that time of year, and probably many other times of year. They were out there just watching their sheep. They were out there keeping their flocks. They were out there doing just normal everyday things. Aren't you glad the Lord can show up in the normal everyday of your life? I mean, there's some folks that say, oh, well, you know, if the angels came down and sang and the stars shone and the fireworks went off and, you know, there was a big, I'd believe. No, you don't have to have that. It's just the normal appearing of God to you in a time when you are just doing about your normal everyday stuff. Amen? I mean, that's the way he came to me. I wasn't doing anything spectacular that Sunday night back in September 1972 when Jesus saved me, but thank God he did. Amen. And he can do the same for you. And he probably did the same for many of you. You're just going about your everyday business. You know, like Paul the Apostle. Paul was just going about his everyday thing that he had been doing. And the Lord met him in the road going to Damascus. Amen. Peter's washing out his nets, getting ready to get the day ended for fishing. And Jesus said, let me borrow your boat for a while. And then Jesus gave him that miraculous drought of the fishes, how they loaded up their boats and broke their nets. And boy, he fell down for him and said, Lord, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. I mean, Jesus comes in a time sometimes and in a way when we really don't even expect it. So here are these shepherds. And they are an awestruck audience when they see the birth of Jesus. I mean, it says the angel came and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And it said they were sore afraid in verse number 9. But I want you to jump over to verse number 15. It said, and it came to pass. The angels make their announcement, singing in the heavens and giving praise and glory to God. And verse number 15, it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. Let's go find out. Let's go check it out. So let's look at these guys and remember again about shepherds. The shepherds are, as I mentioned probably, I think it was last week, how that the shepherds were so lowly thought of in society. As I said, the only thing thought of any more lowly was the leper. I mean, they were on the lowest rung of the social system in Israel at that time, and a notch above them was a shepherd. Shepherds were not well thought of. Shepherds were considered poor. Shepherds were considered, well, they were considered sort of an outcast in the society. They were considered somebody untrustworthy. They were considered somebody that you would not necessarily find any confidence in. Brother, they were not well thought of. But isn't it amazing that God sent the heaven's angels to announce the birth of his darling son to a crowd over here that nobody thought very much about. Amen? And that's what's happened. And here they are, as I said, just sort of an awestruck audience. And here they just, man, they don't know what in the world that's going to happen. But they hear the message. But notice what it says in verse number 15. Heaven has come down to earth, okay? Heaven has come down and met earth, and here are these men. And you know what that requires? That requires some kind of response. It requires, when Jesus came to you, it required some kind of a response. When Jesus comes to you this morning, it requires your response. If you're lost, you need to get saved. If you're saved, you need to get tuned up and get ready just to worship and get involved and enjoy the presence of the Lord. Amen? I mean, something's got to happen. Here they are. They come. And listen to what it says. It says, the shepherds, and it came past verse 15, the angels were gone away from them into heaven. The shepherds said one to another. They looked at each other and said, let us now go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. They said, first of all, let's go and see. Boy, can I tell you, when Jesus comes up on our scene, when the angels make a declaration, the best thing you can do is say, let's go see what this is all about. Amen. I mean, I believe that, man, when you come to church, I want to come in those doors and say, let's see what God's going to do today. Well, do you know, preacher? I don't know. I mean, I have some expectations. I have some thoughts. I have some things sometimes that I say I want to happen. But can I tell you, all I can do is just go and see. Let's go and see what is going to come to pass. So here are these shepherds, the lowly thought of, and they say, first of all, let's go and see. That's their response. They had seen some things. They had an angelic revelation. And now they say, let's go find out if it's true or not. Let's go see. So let's look at them just for a minute and think about that. I mean, you think about this. Man, here comes Jesus. And here we see him in his first coming, if you will, to this earth. And the shepherds want to go and see. And we ought to want to go and see. But can I tell you, when he comes the second time, oh, the first time the shepherds saw, but the second time the saints are going to see. We're going to go to be with him in the air. Amen? Hey, y'all believe that today? Say amen. I really believe that when Jesus comes again, we're going to go. Paul said one of these days, he said a trumpet's going to sound and the Lord himself shall descend and we which are alive and remain will be changed, the dead will rise and we'll all go to meet him in the air. Amen? And boy, I'm telling you, Paul wrote and said, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen? He's coming back a third time though. And when he comes back a third time, whoo, it's going to be in a time of judgment on this old sinful world. Amen? He's coming back. He came the first time. He's coming again, and he's going to come back a third time. And man, I tell you, those last two, I'm with him, okay? I'm going to be with him. Amen. I wasn't there for the first one, but I sure am glad, thank God, I'm going to get to be there for that one. Okay, listen, these fellas heard that angelic announcement. And now, you know, the amazing thing about this, look what it says here. When they had heard this, they said, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing. We want to go see it. You know, I do not see in these words that are written, I see no doubts. I see no questions. I see no reservations. They just look at each other and say, let's go see. Amen? Amen? The skeptics sit around the church and said, well, that's yet to be seen. Oh, well, I doubt if we'll ever see that happen. Can I tell you, make up your mind and say, let's just go see what the Lord is doing. Amen. Let's go see. As I told you, sometimes I come in here and I have expectations and things that I'm thinking, but praise God, can I tell you this? Hey, he far exceeds those things that I think many times. Amen? He does. So here we go. The angels, these men are getting ready after the angels. First of all, notice they have a sense of urgency. They have a sense of urgency. They say, let us now go even unto Bethlehem. Let's go and see. And they're hit with a sense of urgency. They're wanting to do it, and they're not playing around. They don't sit there and say, well, what do y'all think? You think we ought to go try? You think, what do y'all think? No. They just say, let's go. And look what it says in the next verse. In verse number 16, and they came with haste. That means they was moving fast. I mean, some of us little fat boys with short legs, we can move fast when you got to, right? I'm just telling you, man, sometimes you need to just get it and get on. I mean, the shepherds were motivated. They had this sense of urgency, and they were ready to now go. I mean, as I said, no question, no doubt, no hesitation was made. They just said, let's go, and they took off. You see their sense of urgency, but you also see that they make their journey. Look here in verse number 16. They came with haste. Listen, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. They made their journey just like they said they would. Let us now go. And they made haste and they went. You see that word found in your Bible? See that word found? Sometimes you might, if you write in your Bible or highlight or whatever you do. That word found is an interesting word. Circle it, highlight it, whatever. The word found has this idea behind it. It's not really seen probably in our English thinking, but with the Greek thinking, it's like you made a search diligently. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like they just zoomed and ran right there and there it was. You remember the wise men later on, we see the wise men follow a star, and the Bible said the star stood over where Jesus was in the house, right? I mean, that was a pretty good. Now, they came from a distance. They came, and the star kind of hid from them for a while, and they went to the king, and then they go back, and they follow the star, and the star stands over him, and they find him, okay? But here, these guys have to go and search for the Lord. But from what they've heard, they understand that the search is worth it. We have heard that Christ is come. We have heard that the Messiah is here. We have heard that there's a babe that's going to be the king of everything. And we want to find out where he is. And they begin a diligent search to find Jesus. Amen? They're out there looking for him. And you know what? You see what it says here? Verse number 16. And they came with haste. And they found. And what did they find? They found it exactly as it was told to them. They said they found Mary, and they found Joseph, and they found the babe. And he was lying in a manger. Just like, I mean, the Bible tells them. I mean, the angels came and pronounced to them, said, you're going to find this. This shall be a sign to you. In verse number 12, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And they came to a place, and they said, that would be an unusual sight. But as they searched, they found a place where the animals stayed, and they found that manger, and they found a baby in it. And they said, well, we've got at least two things. We found he's in a stable. We found him in a manger, but let's see. And you know what he's wrapped in? Swaddling clothes. You know what swaddling clothes were in that day? It was clothing that people took along with them in case something bad happened to somebody. Somebody got sick or hurt or even died. They would wrap them in a swaddling type cloth. And the Bible said that they wrapped this babe in swaddling clothes. Those three things came to pass, and these men found out that their journey was not in vain. They came with urgency. They came on their journey. And don't you notice they came with some discovery. The discovery they made was certain. I mean, your prompt obedience to the call of God is always rewarded with a glorious privilege. I mean, when you do what God said, he'll show up and he'll take care of you. Amen. He'll take care of you. All you got to do is listen to what he says. You remember Samuel laying in the bed as a child and Eli laying in his bed, and Samuel goes in there and says, did you call me? No, I didn't call you. It happens three times, and Eli says, the next time you hear, you say, Lord, speak for thy servant here. And that time when he did, hey, the Lord began to speak to Samuel, and Samuel began to grow and became the great man of God. I'm telling you, your prompt obedience is rewarded gloriously from heaven above. Just listen to him and then do what he says. Amen? Just do what he says. You remember, if you go over to the book of John, chapter number 2, Jesus and his disciples are at the wedding in Cana of Galilee. And Mary says, they're out of wine. And Jesus looks at her and he says, well, it's not really time for me to be shown before the world. And she looked at those servants and said, whatever he says, do it. Amen? Can I tell you, that's good advice for me and you. Amen. Whatever he says, their prompt obedience was rewarded with a great reward. I mean, they found who they were looking for. Praise the Lord for that. I want you to notice, not only do you see that they say, let us go and see. Let us go and see. But second of all, I want you to notice this. They say, let's go and tell. Look in verse number 17. And when they had seen it, I mean, they went in, they checked it out, and they saw. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. It was announced to them, it was accepted by them, and then it began to be acclaimed by them. They began to say, can we tell you about a baby that's been born today in the city of David, and he is Christ the Lord. Boy, isn't that wondrous that they could go out and say, listen, first of all, when the angel said it, first thing that you and I need to do about the Word of God, you need to accept it as it is. I mean, they were announced that call or that birth by the angels. But then you know what they said? We believe it. We believe it. The best thing you can do is believe this Word right here. I mean, just believe the Word of God. Well, preacher, I find that hard to believe. Well, just quit trying to make it so hard. It's not impossible to believe the Word of God. Amen? I mean, we'll say, well, preacher, I believe that God saved me. Well, then why can't you believe all these other things that he says that he will do for you as one of his children? Amen? I mean, I believe that. I believe he saved me. I believe he keeps me. I believe that he can meet my needs every day. Now, I didn't say he was going to give me everything that I ever sit and think and wish and hope for and all that stuff. But man, he has sure poured out the honey bucket on my life and blessed me in ways and measures that I cannot even dream of. Amen? And he's been right there and he's blessed me with. So I can believe him and I will believe him and I will trust him. And then you know what David said? David said, if you just lean on him, that he would give you the desires of your heart. Thank God, aren't you glad? Hey, your heart needs to be desiring in the right way, right? Your heart needs to be desiring in the right way. But here are these men, and look, they say, let's go tell it. It was told to them. It was accepted by them. And now they're out making their own announcement by them. I mean, they had an encounter. They had an encounter. And you think about this. Here's these angels coming down and making this announcement. And then you see there in verse number 15, I believe it is, and it came to pass when the angels were gone away from them into heaven. Can I tell you, you look out through your Bible, look through it, you'll see times that there are appearances of angels. But as one fellow said, the angels always leave. But can I tell you, Jesus never leaves. He'll always be there. And lo, I'm with you even until the end of the world. He's with us all the way. Oh, thank God. And then, as I said, he's going to come back, and you know what he's going to say? I've been with you, now I'm going to take you with me up here. We're going with him. And then he's going to say, hey, boys, we're going back. Jump on that horse there next to you, and let's ride. Amen? We're going, right? Thank God he's calling, and we're going. Oh, let me just tell you, friend, it's an amazing experience. Hey, here they are. I mean, they're given all of these things. They are eyewitnesses to something that is so spectacular, something that is so amazing. They're eyewitnesses, and they just can't keep it in. I mean, can you believe this? I think I told you this before, but if not, we'll reiterate it. In a Jewish court, when people went for a Jewish court, and somebody came in and said, I have a shepherd that's a witness. The shepherd's word was only counted as half of a witness. His word was practically no good in a court of law. Isn't it amazing that God said, I've got a bunch of them here, and they're going to be my witnesses, and I want you to believe what they have to say. He trusted them. Those that were lowly, as I said, those that were untrusted, those that were probably looked down upon from the others in society. And he said, I'm giving them the good news. What does that mean? That means it don't matter who you are. God can come and give you the good news today. Amen. And he has. Doesn't matter how rich you are. Doesn't matter your place in society. It doesn't matter about your importance and the stature and the dealings of men. Hey, it matters that the Lord passed by your way and he saved you. Amen? Amen. Oh, that little old fellow sitting out there in Acts chapter number 3 in the front of the gate called Beautiful, he's got his little cup begging for alms of people that came by. And Peter stopped there at the gate and he said, son, we ain't got no silver and gold, but what we got, we're going to give to you. What? I mean, he's just a beggar. He's just sitting there by the doorway. But Jesus came by that day, and that man, Peter, reached out, grabbed him, got him straight up. His feet and ankle bones received strength. He began to run and leap and praise God as he went into the temple. People looking in there said, isn't that guy sits out? He crippled. I mean, what's going on? Well, it looks like him. He said, I am him. But I ain't him no more. Amen. The Lord's come by and he's done something. Just like he did for Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus in your Bible. In the Gospels, Jesus is passing by and there's people trying to tell, be quiet. He said, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Shh, shh, Jesus is coming. You be quiet. He began to cry the more. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped. And he called for him. And somebody went around and said, be of good cheer, for behold, he calleth for thee. And boy, he gets up, comes over, and the Lord said, what wilt thou? He said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Jesus said, you got it. Boom. And he could see. Could you imagine? There's a crowd after Jesus left. A crowd come by and traveling down the road. And there's a fella sitting there looking at the flowers on the side of the road, looking at them like this very intently. And they said, buddy, what are you doing? He said, I've never seen a flower. And I've smelled them, and I knew there was a beautiful fragrance, but I've never seen the beauty of a rose. But today, Jesus came by, and things are looking better. Amen? Woo, isn't that good? Hey, I'm just telling you, friend, when Jesus comes by, when Jesus stops by your place, when Jesus comes in, it'll always make a difference. And these guys, no matter how lowly they were, no matter how little everybody thought of them, hey, they were just out there praising God because they got some good news from the angels, and now they're giving good news out to everybody else. Amen? good news. I mean, listen, don't miss the big news. Don't you miss that. There was big news given to them, great grand. Behold, give you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Them boys got it, went and checked it out, and they said, let's go spread it to all people. Let's go tell everybody we know about the good news of Jesus. Amen? All right, let's look at one last thing, if you will. They said, let's go and see. Then they said, let's go and tell. But I want you to notice down in verse number 20. Now, verse 17 said, they'd seen it. They made known abroad the sayings of everything's told them. And all they that heard it, I want you to notice this just real quickly. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. There's people walking around, they're going, they're scratching their heads, you know. They're like, what do they say? What does that mean? I don't get it. There's people today that wonder at what we're doing in church on a Sunday morning. Why didn't y'all just sleep in? Why didn't you go out to the mountains or down to the beach or over to the vacation somewhere? Why didn't you just get out and do whatever you want to do? Hey, they wonder about it. But those that knew, they knew there was something to be excited over. They knew that it was good news. But don't you notice there in verse number 20, jump over verse number 19, go to verse 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. They said, let's go and see. Let's go and tell. And now they're saying, let's go back and praise Him. Let's just go back and praise Him. I mean, they've seen something. They've experienced something. They got some, and man, these shepherds have responded and they have recounted it to others, and now they said, let's go back. And as they go, they just can't help but to rejoice. I mean, they just can't help it. Amen. You know what Paul said over in the book of Philippians? He said, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Paul said, rejoicing is an important thing for people that are saved. Amen. If you look above that in Philippians chapter number 4, and that's verse number 4, but if you look at the first three verses, Paul is talking to the people in Philippi, and he said, now I want these folks that are there. It seems like there's some that have some issues with each other. He said, I want these Syncety and these other ladies all to be of the same mind. In other words, he said, I want you to get together and work out your differences. He said, because you know what? You ought to be rejoicing in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Amen. Sometimes we let our little silly things get in the way. But Paul said, can I tell you an important thing to do for a Christian? Rejoice. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. And he said, rejoice always. And again, he said, let me just back that up with it. Rejoice. Amen. I mean, that's what we ought to be doing. And that's what these guys were doing. They had so much joy on the inside of them. I mean, they went back. They had to go back to the regular place of work. But can I tell you, they were changed by those things that they had seen and that they had heard. Those things that came to them, it changed them. Can I tell you, when you get saved, it should change your life. It should. Now, I'm not saying you got to swing from the chandeliers and bounce off the walls and run in circles, but it should change your life. It should change your heart. Paul said to those folks over in Corinth, he said, behold, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He said, all the old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. When you get saved, it makes a difference in your life. When you get saved, it's to make a difference. And these guys, man, they'd heard some stuff, and it got them all wound up, didn't it? Got them charged up, and they went back, and they had to go back to the regular work. But you know what? You got to go back to your regular work. Maybe tomorrow and the next days following, maybe you got some time off, whatever it may be. But you go back to your regular job. But you know what? What you got down in here can stay there. What God's done on the inside of you, it can and will remain. Thank God for that. I mean, here they go back. They're charged up, and they say, let's go back and pray. They went back to their job. But I want you to notice, second of all, they were witnesses. They were witnesses. Here, the shepherds were the witnesses. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they'd heard and seen as it was told unto them. They got out there in the fields, and they went over and said, Hey, little lamby pie, let me tell you something. Jesus came, amen. Woo, you ever done that? Now, come on, some of y'all ought to nod your head. You've witnessed to your dogs and your cats and the neighbor's dogs and cats and your goldfish and everything else they are in your house. You told them, if Jesus gets on you just right, you'll do it. I told y'all one time, man, my lawnmower ought to be saved. I preached to that thing. I'd get out there and I'd preach that lawnmower. I'd cut grass and I'd kick it every once in a while. I'd say, you need to get right, lawnmower. Amen. So, but I'm just telling you, when the Lord gets on you just right, you'll begin to witness about Him. And I believe as they did, when they heard this news, they began to tell abroad. And then when they went back to the field where they were working, I believe as they got in the field, they began to do the same thing again. They began to just tell everybody they ran into. Said, let me tell you what happened to us. Maybe it was another day or two or whatever it was. But they began to witness and rejoice over what the Lord had done for them. They went back, they witnessed, but I want you to notice this. Most importantly, they worshiped. They had seen the Lord. I mean, I can't get over that. They saw Him. They saw Him. They looked at Him. They were there and they knew there was something special about that baby. And as we've said many times, it wasn't how the nation of Israel, wasn't how they were expecting Him to come. Wasn't expecting that package of just a little babe. But here He is. I mean, they saw Him and they just can't get over it. Can I tell you, you ought not to get over it either. You and I don't need to get over the fact that we have seen the Lord. I mean, they were worshiping Him. What they saw and how they viewed God, it changed everything about them. I mean, you know, the Lord had sent His angels to talk to them and describe the situation and the same. And it was just like they were told. And thank God, they go back and they say, can you believe? God came down and talked to us. God came down and showed us some things. Isn't that the way that it ought to be when you and I get saved? You ought to tell somebody and say, I can't believe it because you know who I am. You know what I used to be. But He came to me. Amen. I couldn't go to where He was, but He came to me. Amen. Oh, He came down to me so low. David said, I was in a horrible pit. He said, I was in a terrible place, but the Lord heard my cry. And He reached down and He picked me up out of that horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set me on a solid rock, and established my goings. And I'm just going to praise His name. Amen. Thank God. Boy, there was an awesome, an awe-inspired, and an awe-struck audience here. And they just can't get over it. They just can't get over it. They go back out to the field. And they're out there tending the sheep. One of them looks at the other and says, what do you think is going to happen tonight? I don't know, but them angels come back. Thank God I'm ready this time, amen. It ain't going to shake me up. Boy, wasn't it a glorious thing that we got to see the Lord? And it changed their lives and their thinking forever. Can I tell you, it ought to do the same thing for us. I've been like you. I've been in churches. I've been in church times, church services here. And, man, it's so thick you couldn't cut it with a knife. The Lord just come down and just, you know, everywhere. Right? But I want to tell you something. It's not like that every service. It's not like that all the time. But you know what? It gets me thinking about when it was. And it gets me looking forward to the next time that it does. Amen? Woo! Hey, I'm telling you, that's how our hearts ought to be. We're looking at Him. We're looking for Him. And we are looking to Him. And say, Lord, just come on down and visit us for a while. These men were so stirred because of the visit they had from heaven's angels. How much more should we when we can come together and have a service where Jesus just comes and visits with us? Amen? Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing something this morning. We get ready to sing, oh my, when heaven touched earth. Isn't it amazing? When heaven touched earth, heaven came down. The songwriter said, in glory, fill my soul. Amen? Amen? Oh, listen, Peter said that it was joy unspeakable and full of glory when you know Jesus. Amen? I don't know about you this morning, but I'm glad that Jesus came. Amen. Glad He was born as that lowly babe. And I'm glad that he has saved my unworthy soul. Amen. Give me a place with him in heaven. Let's stand, if you would, this morning. Maybe if you're here and you need the Lord to save you, you need the Lord to do something.